Yusilia Wang is a writer in Oakland, California. I read her article, How Driverless Cars Know How to Drive, in the March 24th edition of the Wall Street Journal, and asked her if we could talk about it today. Welcome, Yusilia.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, would you take us inside a driverless car and sort of just virtually point to the onboard systems that are collecting and analyzing data for us so the car knows what's going on around it? And then we'll talk about the other things.
Sure. So right now, actually, some of the high-end cars already have quite a few sensors built in to automate some of the features that we would, of course, see down the road. For example, there are sensors for helping us to park, for preventing the car from veering into the next lane, you know, should you fall asleep. So the car makers are actually gradually automating the car until one day when the car can actually, you know, drive itself. But the car of the future, though, it's going to need a lot more sensors and software to teach the car how to spot problems and to avoid collision. And some of the sensors that are being tested include the LiDAR. It's a laser-based sensors, and they are usually placed on top of the roof or even in front of the bumper, depending on the car makers. And LiDAR sensors are very good at collecting high-resolution 3D images. So a car, in order to know what's going on around it, will need a really good picture of its environment. And LiDAR is able to accomplish that. So you see LiDAR being used by automakers such as, you know, Ford, Volkswagen, Audi, and certainly Google. Even has made autonomous car research quite hip and sexy. And then we also have the good old cameras, actually, are also very good at gauging the changes in traffic lights and giving directions. And cameras are much cheaper. So car makers are mindful that, you know, with the cars of the future, they want to make sure that the cars will be affordable. So they are hoping to use a lot of cameras to help the car pilot itself. There are also sensors such as sonar, radars, and to gauge the distance, the depth, to figure out what's happening around the blind spots that are going to be added all around the cars.
Have you calculated, just for fun, the size of the data collection that will have to occur for a driverless car?
Well, we know there are... It sort of varies, again, depending on how many sensors and what types of sensors that you use. So LiDAR, for example, you know, four of them on top of a research car by Ford could collect about 2.5 million 3D points per second. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. A radar, you know, is about 1 to 10 kilobytes per second. And even the good old cameras actually could collect up to 60 megabytes per second. So there are going to be lots of data, and those are per second. So there'll be a lot of data being collected throughout to help the car drive itself.
You have actually discovered that developers with auto companies are pretty confident that these systems can, I think you said, crunch the necessary data. But now they have to figure out how to get it all into a car. And I want you to tell the story of what you learned of the amazing feat of the Audi people.
Right. So the current cars, actually, especially the high-end cars, they already have a lot of, I guess, mini computers, you know, processors built in to crunch a bunch of data for assisted parking or for adaptive cruise control. So, of course, the cars of the future will have a lot more data. And so you're going to need, you know, powerful processors to analyze and to crunch those data. And Audi apparently has been able to shrink the main computer for crunching all that data from a size of a car, a trunk, to an iPad over the past year. And they want to demonstrate that, you know, it's possible to crunch all those data without having to, you know, adding this huge computer system into the car.
Have you been in a driverless car yet?
No, I haven't, actually. It's a lot of research actually is taking place on college campuses, actually. So the University of Michigan, for example, they have professors there working with Ford. And then MIT, it's also, I think, plans for autonomous car research on campus. A lot of times states do not allow autonomous cars being driven on regular, you know, street surface, street roads, or definitely not on highways. So it's pretty limited to where you can test drive those cars. They tend to be on college campuses or some other designated spots.
When do you think this future will arrive?
Well, you know, I think for sure it's at least 10 years out, if not longer, because the issue is not just with technology. We do have already a lot of sensor technologies available in the processing, computing processing power, but you've also have a lot of regulations that might have to change in terms of traffic laws, liability issues, you know, insurance issues, you know, who's going to be responsible if there's an accident involving two automated cars, or maybe one automated car and the other one actually has got a driver in it. So there are like a lot of legal issues that have yet to be worked out. And also, just even with all the computing processing power we have, to teach a car, a machine, to behave like a human is really a really a big challenge. There are just a lot of issues with perceptions and decision making that you have to teach the machine, and that will require a lot of data feeding to the machine and to tell them how to, you know, spot the difference between one scenario and another scenario, and then how to react properly. And so all that learning has to take place before you can roll out a car in the market.
I think you said that a good driver, a good human driver, can make up a decision in a second, and an ordinary driver can do so in 3 to 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that's how fast a machine will have to be. And that's going to be hard.
That's right.
So I can see driverless or an autonomous car being useful for the visually challenged. Tell me, what other applications are there for autonomous cars?
The way I think car makers will market autonomous cars will involve selling the idea that you can accomplish a lot more on your way to work or doing a long drive somewhere. And so there will be a lot of, you know, entertainment, infotainment systems, I think, built in the car. And you already see that actually happening in the cars today, where you're able to access a lot of different radio stations and programming, and you can, you know, search for the nearest restaurants or the best parking spots. You know, there are a lot of those information searches that are being added into the car as a standard features. And so the idea is that in the future, where you don't have to drive the car, then you will be able to do a lot more work or take care of a lot of chores that you might not otherwise be able to do because you're stuck in traffic. I think so that is going to be something that I think car makers think that will be attractive to consumers.
Are you going to get one?
I would love to, actually. Yeah, I love the idea of basically having a robot, you know, drive me wherever I want to go. I can't wait.
Yuxilia Wang, thank you for speaking with me today.
And thank you so much.